This is James Corbett coming to you from Western Japan on this 26th day of November 2010, and today I'm joined on the line by Bob Chapman from his underground fortress in some undisclosed location in some far-flung corner of the globe, and he's joining us from the International Forecaster at intforecaster.com. Bob Chapman, it is a pleasure to have you on the program, as always.
Well, thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to be here, that's for sure.
Excellent. Well, let's get straight into it. As my listeners, I'm sure, are aware, I've been on something of a mini hiatus from my podcast for the last week and a half, 2 weeks. So I have not been following the news as intently as I usually do. So why don't I leave it to you to tell the listeners what is important and what they should be keeping their eyes on right now?
Well, first of all, the U.S. has started to make its moves in their Psy War operation. Number one, they've totally insulted the domestic inhabitants of the country with their antics at the airport to enrage them. And so far they've been successful in doing that. Of course, they're going to come back and tell you that the only way they can get around that is by profiling everybody. That would mean fingerprinting, optical printing, if you may, and having a dossier in each person. And that's what they're after here. Second of all, I've talked about many, many times the need at some time in the future of another war. And if you go back in history, you'll find out this is exactly what they do all the time. And they obviously have bypassed what everybody thought was the natural place to have a war, at least for now, in Iran, in the Middle East. And with that said, a number of months ago, I said that the next possible victim, if you may, is North and South Korea, and here we go. And they're going to try to get a low-intensity war going, and that will expand it to something pretty nasty, with the U.S. on one side and China on the other. And that will override a lot of the commentary about what China is doing in relation to their currency, their economy, and their exports. And I would think if Korea becomes an ongoing battle, which I think there's a good chance of, then I would think that China won't be exporting as many things to America as they had before, if anything at all. And, of course, on the other hand, this past week, or during the course of this week, we had Russia and China say that in their commercial and financial relations with one another, that they will no longer use dollars, they'll only use yuan in rubles. And quite frankly, that's a natural extension of their relationship. I mean, there's no reason to use dollars if you don't have to. But it's also another way of cutting the dollar out from one of the avenues that's being used presently, which will be hurtful to the dollar. But it's understandable. The dollar has been a declining asset. And this is all accompanied by the failure of the European Union. I wrote 14 years ago. Actually, I started to write in 1991, about how the European Union would not work because they were going to use one interest rate to fit everybody. Never happened. And I also brought in the anthropological aspects of the tribalism in Europe, not only in the Eurozone, which is now 16 members, it was 14 then when it started 10 years ago or so. But also the European Union is another very unusual and very unnatural association of people. And I knew it couldn't work. I lived in Europe for years. I speak their languages. So I know what people's heads are. Anyway, Europe's a mess. The euro will go. How long it will take, I don't know. But the euro is toast. It'll be replaced by their natural perennial currencies. And that transformation won't take too long once it starts, probably 3 months. There's been talk of a Northern European Union. For the same reasons I just cited, I don't think it's going to be doable. The Germans, they really don't want to do anything like that. They just want to do their own thing. From a few years before and since, in all the polls, consistently between 65 and 75% of Germans, male and female, have said they do not want a euro. And they do not want to be in the European Union. It's pretty clear. But because they lost the war, they were forced to do things that they didn't want to do. They paid a terrible price for the merger of Eastern and Western Germany. The currencies were exchanged one-on-one. It should have been 20 East German marks for each West German mark. Those are the kind of things that really make you regurgitate. It was horrible what they did to them. Who was they? The French, the Germans, and the Americans. And this sort of thing has been going on for the past 60 years. And quite frankly, it's got to stop. The war is over. It's been over for a long, long time. But with that said, these are the turmoil things that you've got going, never mind the underlying problems that exist financially and economically that were deliberately caused by the money powers in London and New York. I mean, these things didn't happen by coincidence. Nothing does. They're all planned that way. And now the people behind the scenes have got themselves into a position where they're having a hard time controlling it. When that happens, they have another war. How do I know that? All you have to do is look at history. It's simple. There's nothing esoteric about it. And that's what they're doing right now. The classic psychopolitical diversion internationally. We have TSA domestically. And of course, there's a whole group of things that could grow out of that. You have riots in UCLA and Berkeley. You got them in London for the tripling of the cost of going to university. Who knows where that may end? So we got a lot of bad things going on. That's bad for the stock market. It's bad for the bond market. It's good for gold and silver. It's bad eventually for the dollar. Because these little rallies don't mean anything.
Well, absolutely.
It's the underlying problem.
That's exactly the point. And you hit on so many important points there. And they really are all interrelated, as I'm sure the listeners out there will understand by now if they've been listening to us for any length of time. And I just wanted to quote something apropos from your most recent International Forecaster newsletter, where you write, quote, "There are those who say QE2 should be eliminated. We wonder if they realize that if it is, that the American economy and most of the world's economy will collapse. If we had allowed a severe recession to play itself out in the early 1990s, all this would have never happened, but this is not what Wall Street and banking wanted. We should have bitten the bullet 3 years ago, but the elitists wanted to take the problem at least one step further to be sure that the final result would bring about one world government. Readers, that is what this is really all about," end quote, which I think is just about the best summary of the situation that could be posited at this point.
Well, thank you very much, and I put a lot of thought into it, obviously a lot of work. Besides all the radio programs and everything, but I'm a healthy person, and I'm very fortunate. I've got total recall. I've had a photographic memory since I was a child, and so I got everything in the world going for me, and that's why I didn't stay retired. My retirement lasted about 8 months, and I said, I can't do this anymore. Playing golf and tennis every day? No, it wasn't for me. I do still play golf. Tennis is a little hard on a 75-year-old. But I've been blessed with the ability to be able to bring a specific message to people. And the importance of it is you have to understand history. And if you do, you understand everything that they're up to. And I'm severely disappointed that other writers don't have that perspective, because that's why they're wrong all the time. They don't get it.
Unfortunately not, but I can't imagine that those who don't get it aren't at least beginning to get an inkling of what this is really about, and I imagine we're going to be seeing more people sort of jumping on a bandwagon at some point to once the One World Government is really starting to come out into the open.
I sure hope so, because that would relieve an awful lot of the responsibility I've assumed. I wish there were thousands of them talking the way that I do, so I could just kind of slip into the background and say, my job's been done, we've informed the people of the world who's doing what to them, why they're doing it, let's put a stop to it, and let's try to put a stop to it permanently, if that's possible. The big problem is stepping outside the main venue and stepping into the box outside and saying the things I do, and then being subjected to the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, to quote the bard. Most people are not emotionally equipped to put up with what I do. I mean, you have to have the skin of an armadillo. And that's where the problem lies. It's acceptance within society. And since I was a child, I could care less what society thinks. I was always outside. Just the nature of the beast. And so it's not easy for people to assume that mantle. But I hope they're out there. There has to be some.
Well, I think so, and I think, to quote the American bard, in the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, brave, hated, and scorned, and when his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. And that's pretty much, I think, the point of what we see taking place as a type of societal shift that's taking place around us. And I guess the question is whether that societal shift can be co-opted or used somehow by the power elite to their own advantage. And you mentioned an interesting possibility with this latest reaction to the TSA scandal in the United States, which of course is a healthy sign of a flowering of public outrage at what really is invasive attempts to get into people's personal space in the most disgusting and horrific ways. But unfortunately, that can then be used to, at some later point, roll out some sort of trusted traveler biometrics program, which will encourage everyone to give up their biometric details in order to avoid these hassles. And I can see that type of plan being implemented to try to basically put people back to sleep and even enslave them further. So there is a question of whether the awakening is happening at a fast enough pace in order to outpace the three-dimensional chess that the elite are playing with us while we're still here playing checkers.
Well, I think you're right, and it's our job to inform the public that there's a good chance that that's what they're after. And if we can state that through the airways throughout the world and on the internet, people will quickly grasp what this is really all about. And if they can do that, if we can do that, and we are doing it, whether we'll be powerful enough and quick enough remains to be seen. But that's our job. And we are going to get that word out. And maybe they'll have to go back to the drawing board because it's not working. We got information here that we picked up yesterday that government is even in their frontal assault against American decency, they're even talking, if they think it's necessary, of anal probes. I mean, I can't believe this. It's mind-boggling. I mean, at an airport, because you're getting on the plane and they think you might have something hidden. It's madness. I live in another country like you do, and I had a conversation at dinner last night, and some people were thinking of taking another trip to the United States for a little vacation. And my wife and I went into the details of what they've got planned for the public who uses the airlines of the United States, most of which has been on the news, generally speaking. And I think we convinced them to go to Europe. And yeah. The point is, I mean, it's just crazy.
Well, that is the point. It seems absolutely so completely outlandish and so in your face that I can't help but think that this is designed to enrage the public.
And to make them accept this biometric alternative that you've mentioned and I've mentioned for the past few days. And you notice it happened at a time leading up to the most traveled days of the year. I think that's significant. They wanted to have major impact. And I watched these panels, two sides arguing with each other. Chertoff, who is financially involved in this thing, and used to be the head of Homeland Security, he's going to make millions and millions of dollars off these machines, probably already has. And the discourse is laughable. And they tried to get their point across by raising their voice or personally attacking the other side that is presenting the facts, which is always the case. And they're getting nowhere. And if we can expose what they're really after, which is a total dossier in everybody, then we'll have accomplished something. We would have stopped them again. And I think we can do that.
Well, that's absolutely right. I liken it to exposing a magician's tricks before he goes out on stage, so that when he comes out on stage, the audience will already know everything he's going to do and how he does it, but thereby the magic is no longer magical at all. And if we can tell people what's happening and what's the real end game of this is, what the goal is, then people won't be tricked when these little sideshow acts come out and try to shine their baubles before our eyes and distract us from what's really happening behind the scenes. But it's just mind-boggling how much is going on at this point. And I think one of the hardening signs is not only the outrage that has flowered from the TSA gross abuses that are going on and the National Opt-Out Day that was organized for on the 24th, but also all sorts of other political and especially economic actions that are coming into play right now. I'm sure you've heard there's an international movement to get people to withdraw their money from the banks on December 7th of this year. And also Max Kaiser has been talking about bringing down JP Morgan by getting hundreds of millions of people to just take 1 ounce of silver, physical delivery of 1 ounce of silver. And very interesting economic ideas for trying to shake up the system. What's your take on what's happening with these different ideas?
Well, I think, first of all, with Max Kaiser's idea, I think it's excellent. And it's so simple. And you say to yourself, well, why didn't I think of that? Well, just because you didn't. Anyway, I think Max does a wonderful job, and he nothing fazes him, nothing scares him, and I know exactly where he's coming from. And so going after Morgan is extremely important. Morgan is the largest owner of the Federal Reserve. Morgan really is the Federal Reserve. There's other players, but they're the major domo, and they have been since 1907 when Morgan, which really is an extension of the royal family of England, went in and saved the economy by producing enough money to get things going again, and with that used it as an excuse to implement and get legislation for for the Federal Reserve Act in 1913. And so by going after Morgan, which has been manipulating gold and silver prices and other things, at least since 1988, and I know of instances back in the 60s and 70s when they were illegally in markets doing what they were doing, as well as the U.S. government. Fortunately for these people, I've lived too long, and I know where all the rats are hidden. With that said, Morgan is a very, very lush target, and they've never imagined there would be five major class action lawsuits against them, one of which is a RICO lawsuit, which means a lot of people could go to jail. And the RICO is treble damages plus cost plus fines. So if Morgan were to lose, and they probably will lose, because I think the defense is going to be, well, we were working for the government. They don't want to tell you that they are the government, really, from behind the scenes. They and their other brother on Wall Street, where I spent 28 years of my life. And so that's target rich, and that's what Max has identified. Everybody in the world, just take delivery of 1 ounce of silver, and you're going to bring Morgan to its knees, because they will not be able to produce delivery. And not only would Morgan collapse, but so would other naked short players like HSBC, which is Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corporation, as well as SLV, the exchange-traded fund. They don't have any silver. They get all contracts. And the same thing is true with GLD. They'll all go down. The COMEX will go down. The LBMA in London will go down. That's how serious this is. And Max is really, really set out to hurt them. And we get emails from hundreds and hundreds of people saying, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, to get people to buy just 1 ounce of silver, you know, $26 or $7, whatever the price is today. And that's little sacrifice to make to bring down a monster. And so it's a great idea. What was the other thing that you brought up?
Well, let me just say I concur wholeheartedly with that, because even if this scheme comes to nothing and somehow has absolutely no effect, at the end of the day, everyone who's involved still ends up with a physical ounce of silver, which is a good thing. So it's a win-win situation all around, I think, and is a brilliant idea. So I do support it as well. The other idea that I've heard talk about recently is an idea for an international movement for everyone to try to withdraw money from their banks on December 7th of this year.
I think that originated in France, did it not?
That was where I first heard about it anyway, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's a wonderful idea. It's not going to bring the banking system down, but it's going to show the banking system that we're serious. We're tired of you looting us. It's got to stop. We don't mind you making a reasonable profit. Of course, that varies from person to person. But if you put them all together, if banks make 8% or so a year, that's not outrageous. And I'm not saying that banks should be regulated as to how much money they can make, but I am saying that banks should be regulated to just how much criminal activity that they can engage in without going to jail. And we're seeing that right now with the foreclosure gate. The AGs, attorney generals, from the different states are saying, let's make a deal. You got to be kidding me. I mean, these people are criminals. They've stolen from I don't know how many people. And for them to be let off the hook will start a national revolution. And these attorney generals are so political, and most all of them are attorneys, trying to push their own agenda, And they're getting word from Washington, probably from the likes of Hank Paulson, if you don't do this, we're going to collapse the economy. Hmm. Well, attorney generals, I got news for you. It's going to collapse anyway. It's just that you're going to ruin your future if there's one at all available to you.
If there is any surer sign that you're in an economy that is about to collapse than the fact that there are now banks that are just writing up bogus pieces of paper to literally steal the roofs from over people's heads, I'm not sure what it is. I mean, that's just such a blatant act of thievery, and if it goes unpunished, then there really is no rule of law, which of course we already know to a certain extent, but it's just more confirmation of that fact. But along those lines, I see that you also reported in the most recent Forecaster about what is supposedly shaping up to be the largest ever insider trading bust that's coming at some point from the SEC, and I see this being reported in a lot of mainstream places like Wall Street Journal, which makes me highly suspicious that this is really going to get at any sort of root of any problem. But what's your take on this developing story?
Well, if you notice, all of the players who are being subpoenaed are not members of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, or the Bilderberg Group. They're being sacrificed to make it look like something's being done to get the bad guys on Wall Street. And these people, if they are guilty, deserve to be punished. But it leaves all the other criminals in a position where they can keep right on being criminals. And so
right.
It's just like creating
who,
your
who
own
control
opposition.
The SEC.
What's that?
The criminals who control the SEC that's controlling the investigations.
Absolutely. And so what they really have to go after, and which the major firms are involved in, is the 16 computers that stand one after another beside the New York Stock Exchange computer and do flash trading using algorithms. What flash trading is front running. It's pretty simple. And the SEC has a rule that you can't do that. And they don't enforce that rule. Secondly, naked shorting. Since 1980, it's wiped out thousands of companies. This allows big brokerage firms and trading corporations, hedge funds, to sell stock that doesn't even exist and make a stock go down so they can't raise money. And if they can't raise money, they got to go out of business. And when they go out of business, they don't have to cover their short. They just make all the money that they receive by shorting. It's diabolical. And these two elements are far more important than these poor souls that are going to go to jail or be fined.
That's right.
That's well, what we really need. I know of companies personally, just in the last 6 months, that have gone to the SEC on front running and on naked shorting. There's a number of companies, and they refuse to do anything, and they're nasty, and they're arrogant. And I can prove that. And that's what's going on. And they have so corrupted the stock market that no sane person would want to go there. The whole thing is rigged.
Absolutely. Well, anyone who hasn't seen that from things like the Madoff scandal and the whistleblowers that were trying for years to get anyone in any sort of investigative body to try to take a look at what was the clear and outright fraud that was going on and the absolute refusal of any investigative body to do so would have to know by now that the game is rigged completely from the inside. And again, the evidence just continues to pile up. And flash trading is an extremely interesting topic, but not one that I know a lot about in detail. Perhaps we can back up and go over a little bit about what that is and how it's really changed the game in terms of trading in recent years.
You mean flash trading?
Yes.
Well, what happens is orders are entered in through the NYSE, New York Stock Exchange, system. And when they're fed into there, the other computers belonging to Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, etc., they are able to sense the trades within nanoseconds and act as a buyer or a seller. And they only may make a half a penny on the trade or a penny, but they make billions of dollars a day collectively screwing the public. It's as simple as that. It can't be allowed.
So it's basically, the same thing with derivatives.
They should not be allowed. Naked shorting is not allowed, but it goes on. And these are all breaches of SEC regulations, and nothing is done. What did you say, Jim?
So it's just basically high-tech front-running.
Yes. Very sophisticated.
An interesting aspect of the flash trading story that I've seen on sites like Zero Hedge over the last year or two is I've seen several cases now of supposedly rogue traders at various institutions stealing algorithms for the flash trading, the algorithms which compute when to buy and sell, which are apparently highly prized, highly proprietary type software that these institutions spend a long time developing. And supposedly several of the top algorithms have been stolen over the years. And I'm wondering how that plays into the story, whether we're being set up for some sort of false flag type event where a supposedly rogue trader will be using this and will be blamed for a lot of the havoc that's being played on markets, like the flash crash that happened earlier this year, or if this is a red herring, or what your take is on that aspect of the story.
Well, they knew within 5 minutes who caused the flash crash. It took them 6 months to report on it. They knew what was going on. The Paulsons of this world, and I speak of our ex-Secretary of the Treasury and former head of Goldman Sachs, who gave up a $40 million a year job for $200,000 a year. They were warning Congress, if you don't vote for this Financial Reform Act, we're going to take the market down, and we're going to show you, just as an example, how it's done. And they took it down. And that's what happened. And they get their financial reform. Politicians are easy to frighten. Most of them don't have any guts, and most of them are thieves. And so with that said, the response was they got what they wanted. And they got to do that again and again and again.
Sad but true. And of course, that's exactly how the bailout was passed in 2008, with a lot of fear-mongering. And again, it worked beautifully. And unfortunately, I think we're just going to continue to see that time and time again until the people start taking action into their own hands through things like the Max Kaiser crash Morgan by buying an ounce of silver idea and other such innovative financial ideas where people can really take the power into their own hands rather than relying on political saviors. And I think another key aspect of taking power into your own hands is to become informed through sources like the International Forecaster. So tell people out there a little bit more about the Forecaster and what they'll find in it.
Well, the Forecast is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. And we publish on Wednesdays and Saturdays via email. Runs around 40 pages each time. We have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the internet. And everything that you need to know every week is in that publication. You can get a free introductory copy by going to theinternationalforecaster.com. theinternationalforecaster.com. You can also go to www.intforecaster.com. That's intforecaster.com. Or if you'd like to ask a question, and we answer everyone, you can go to our email address, bob@intforecaster.com. bob@intforecaster.com. If you'd like to call in toll free, you can call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178. And if you call that number, you can get a free one-year subscription. The deal that they're offering there for that subscription is fantastic. So if you have thought of subscribing, that's a very way, good way to do that.
Absolutely, and let me once again commend you for all the work you're doing at The Forecaster and to get people to subscribe if they can, because it's so important to be informed about what's really going on. And on that note, we won't be speaking again until the 10th of December, coming up in a couple of weeks. So is there anything else you'd like to leave the listeners with today?
No, I think we've made the government as miserable as possible today. And
I hope so.
they justly deserve it. And I have you down for an hour earlier than today. Is that correct?
That should be right, yes.
Okay. And so I'll be there. I love doing your program, and I love your work. And I hope these you're able to be picked up on one of these talk radio programs soon. And you've got a lot to give to people.
Excellent. Well, I'll continue doing what I can, and I hope you'll do the same. Bob Chapman, thank you as always for joining us today.
You're welcome, and thank you all for listening. Bye-bye.